Good morning, world. Welcome to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And
well,
good morning, Rabbit.
You started with a big sigh this morning.
I wasn't sighing. I was gathering my thoughts.
Ah, okay. Well, we should.
And my memories of what a wonderful time we had in Emilia Romagna.
And the pride of place in this program at the beginning goes to the restaurant I Caracci at the Grand Hotel Baglioni on the Via Independencia, about 150 meters from the center of the city.
Boy, your Italian's getting really sharp there.
my Italian's getting, boy, when Peter's Italian's getting sharp, we're really in big trouble.
now, we should just mention that the Caracci family is a very prominent artist family in this particular part of Italy, and they were fathers, brothers, you know, extended family, and the building that was bought has, did we say this in the interview? I can't remember now, but at any rate, it's amazing to see these frescoes that are still extant in this hotel building.
Yeah, we didn't see the famous one, which is the
Rape of Europa,
which is one of the conference rooms. We didn't go out of our way to see that. This is also a very good moment to say hello to our good friend, great amici, and the person who had most to do with making sure that we had a wonderful time when we stayed in Bologna.
Oh, he was good.
That's Marco Cestari. Marco, if you're listening, this is for you.
Yes. And anybody wants to be sure to hit all the high spots in Bologna, I should contact him. And he acts as a, well, What is his official title?
He's the head concierge. It's really funny. Later on our trip, we met a Canadian couple who were staying at the same place we were. They had stayed for three nights at the Grand Hotel Baglioni, and I said, you know what, I can't say enough about what Marco did for us, because not only did he arrange everything, but he also was ahead of us in saying, now, are you sure that we know what you're doing tomorrow, and here's my suggestion for what you might do, which is exactly what you need. It's exactly what you expect. It's what you get at the finest hotels, and it's what you lack if you don't stay at good places. So
there's only one thing I would fault, is that nobody got straight the story of how we got into this the balsamic vinegar factory, and we ended up getting in one gate, which closed. It opened for us and then closed strongly behind us.
Well, that's
and then the next metal gate wouldn't open, so we were between gates with a sign warning us about these guard dogs.
but that's a story for another
day.
And it was a very expensive
cab ride.
Well, it was a combination of a brief moment of negligence on the part of both Marco and Peter.
It was really the part of the old brochure. This is, should
well,
be a reminder to was, stay up to date in your brochures, listeners.
Right. There we go.
This brochure was like 8 years old, and they had moved.
Why are we talking about? You're just trying to get this off your chest, aren't you?
You just had a vent. I had a vent, but I wanted to also have a happy ending to it, which is that I still managed to get my 125-year-old balsamico. And,
no, 125 was closer to the price.
Oh, that's right.
the Balsamico Tradizionale di Modena is only 25 years old, but
I'm not good with numbers.
for a 25 year old, it's pretty expensive. Anyway, back to,
it's so yummy on ice cream with warm figs.
Yeah, back to I Caracci at the Grand Hotel Baglioni in Bologna.
On the Menu is going to have an adventure. We are in Bologna and we're staying at the Grand Hotel Baglioni. We're interviewing Chef Pasquale Falanga, highest chef.
Hi.
And we're going to be assisted in this interview by a translator who is Yolanda Rocco, who translates, first of all, she teaches Italian, but she also translates Italian for foreigners, or teaches Italian for foreigner, and translates. So if you're in Bologna and you need a translator, or if you'd like a very welcome house guest in the United States, what you do is you go on the internet and you email yolandarocco@yahoo.it. Welcome also, Yolanda.
Hello, thank you.
We're going to have fun here. Chef, you understand some English, I see.
Un po' capisco. It's a little.
But listen, listeners, he was born, very interestingly, in
Pompeii.
Davvero. Now, but he does not cook Neapolitan style. He is trained also and works in Bologna. So the first question we're going to ask is, Chef, what is Bolognese cuisine?
Chef, che cosa si intende per cucina bolognese?
Cucina classica del territorio. Cucina classica del territorio, in base a pasta fresca e tutti i prodotti della terra.
Bolognese cuisine is a traditional local cuisine based on homemade pasta.
Oh, is that true?
Uh-huh.
Sì, una parte.
And
yes.
And other peasant dishes, no? Country cooking?
Altri piatti tipici?
Ah, sono le tipiche tagliatelle alla bolognese, i tortellini in brodo, le lasagne alla bolognese e vari altri piatti tipici. Ci sono anche il coniglio come un secondo piatto, un coniglio arrosto alla bolognese, ci sono dei piatti tipici. Ci sono anche in Emilia un culatello, che è un prodotto tipico bolognese.
Now tell me this. You are an individual and you are noted for your talents as an individual chef. What are some of the characteristics of your style, your particular style of these rendering these bolognese recipes?
So che hai un grande talento, che sei un bravissimo cuoco, ma vorremmo sapere quali sono le tue caratteristiche personali rispetto alla cucina bolognese, come la personalizzi questa cucina bolognese?
L'ho un po' alleggerita dai vari grassi saturi che erano all'inizio e nell'alleggerirle sono usciti dei piatti più leggeri ma gustosi allo stesso tempo.
Usually I respect the Bolognese cuisine, which is very fat and tasty, but personally I decided to reduce the use of the fats. I use less cream and less heavy cream, and even though the taste is still excellent and delicious, but I don't want to make it too heavy.
So it's very contemporary.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah.
You said, Cornelio, we're having rabbit tonight, are we?
Anche coniglio, se volete, c'è anche.
If you wish, you can have rabbit, which is a typical dish, bolognese dish.
Yeah, well, regular listeners know that Peter's nickname is Cornelio, rabbit.
Ah,
oh, allora lo facciamo arrosto.
So we're gonna make Peter roasted. Do you agree, Peter, to go in the oven tonight?
Well, you don't have a microphone. So
okay.
Peter's saying he loves rabbit, but he doesn't have the microphone because I'm clutching it. What else do you think we're going to have tonight? Can you go over some of the items of the menu?
Allora Pasquale, che cosa farai stasera? Che cosa proporrai stasera? Quali saranno i piatti che proporrai? Quali saranno gli ingredienti? Raccontaci un po', illustraci.
Stasera preparerò una degustazione di piatti tipici bolognesi, rivisitati a mio modo, non proprio tradizionali.
Pasquale tonight is going to show you, he's going to prepare a tasting of our bolognese dishes, traditional bolognese dishes, with his own creativity.
Va bene.
Preparerò una terrina di coniglio con marmellata di cipolla tipica bolognese e gelatina a porto.
He's going to prepare rabbit with a special jam sauce.
Onion jam, no.
Onion sauce, bolognese onion sauce, with jelly.
Poi farò un assaggino di culatello, tipico di Zibello, con uno spumino di parmigiano e un assaggino di ristretto acido balsamico.
He'll then prepare tasting of culatello, which is raw ham from Parma, with slices of Parmesan cheese and a touch of balsamic vinegar.
Aha. I thought he said, did you say foam at all? Foam?
It's a kind of foam, but it's Parmesan cheese.
Uh-huh.
And he will put on a side a decoration as a foam. But it's mainly fresh Parmesan cheese with balsamic
I was
vinegar.
Interested if he is interested in contemporary cooking, like at Francescana, Albuli. I have this every time I interview anybody in Italy. I really want to ask Pasquale about how you personally relate to this contemporary movement in cooking, which is sort of contrary to the regional Italian cooking, but it's important on a global stage. Do you know any of these molecular gastronomy chefs? Are you interested in that? And if not, I mean, who do you really admire? Who are your heroes in as chefs in Italian cuisine or any other place, in any chefs other places?
Pasquale, adesso va molto di moda la cucina contemporanea, molto ricercata, e vorremmo capire un po' che cosa pensi rispetto a questa cucina che è un po' si discosta molto da quella tradizionale, e poi soprattutto chi sono i tuoi cuochi preferiti, se hai qualche preferenza, se ci sono dei maestri che ritieni veramente esemplari e di riferimento nei tuoi confronti.
Sì, è vero, la cucina attuale è molto moderna. Io mi sono rimasto un po' alla tradizione, rivisitandolo il giusto, non eccessivamente, non mi metto a fare spume, gelati, tanti prodotti innovativi, perché voglio sempre mantenere un piatto leggero e visitato nella tradizione. Non sono tanto alla moda che poi si sposta, rimango un po' nella tradizione, ma solo il gusto e il sapore modifico, che lo alleggerisco. I punti di riferimento sono tanti, sono tutti grandi maestri della cucina italiana, dei nomi grandi, c'è un marchese, ci sono tanti altri colleghi del sud che mi hanno aiutato a crescere, che sono tutti importanti.
Marchese?
È uno dei tanti che ha una bella cucina italiana e lo copio tanto per i suoi piatti.
Di dov'è Marchese?
Di Milano.
Pasquale is a traditional chef. He knows a lot about contemporary cuisine, but he doesn't follow the trend, the contemporary trend. He prefers to cook traditionally. So no strange dishes, but very traditional.
I mean, we've had some very strange dishes, believe me.
he likes to offer a fresh and traditional dish. Even though if he has a specific request, he can make something really creative and new, but he'd rather respect the tradition as it is.
Yeah.
Concerning his heroes, he admires many chefs among Italy, but he's very devoted to one chef in particular, who is Mr. Chef Marchese from Milan.
And what's his restaurant?
Come si chiama il ristorante dove lavora Marchese?
Ah, in questo momento mi sfugge il nome, perché non vorrei una cambiata di tanti che non so in quell'ultimo come si chiama, però in centro di Milano.
So Pasquale apologize because he doesn't remember where Marchese works. Marchesino. Someone told us that Marchese works in this restaurant very close to Scala Theater in Milan, which is called Marchesino. So restaurant Marchesino, very well known.
Well, we will have to go there next time.
I actually heard about this restaurant, but I've never been there. Yeah. But it's a very exclusive and prestigious place. And Pasquale admires Chef Marchese.
Well, Laschita reminded me that we cut short this list of these prized menu items. We would like to reprise that. Could you go back and talk some more about specific menu items that you're preparing?
È possibile sapere esattamente nel dettaglio i vari ingredienti che tu prepari? Scegli dei piatti e proprio spiegali nel dettaglio.
Posso scegliere dei piatti tipici bolognesi. E prepariamo le tagliatelle alla bolognese. Non fa altro che ti fa la pasta fresca con uova, farina e un pizzico di sale.
So Pasquale would like to mention tagliatelle, which is our traditional Bolognese dish, homemade dish. The ingredients are very simple: flour, eggs, and salt.
E poi prepariamo tutta la procedura come fa la pasta. Si stende a mattarello, si fa l'impasto, si stende a mattarello e si lascia essiccare, e dopo si vanno a tagliare tutto a listarello da un centimetro con coltello e fare dei nidi.
How to make tagliatelle?
He makes it sound easy, and it's not.
For Pasquale, it's easy, but of course you have to train a little bit. Once you've prepared the ingredients, you have to make dough. So you put together the eggs, the salt, and the flour, and you need, of course, a rolling pin, and you roll out the dough little by little till you get a white dough, and then you cut it into either spaghetti or tagliatelle. It depends on what you would like to have. And always remember to leave the dough in the fridge for around 2 hours. Dough should rest for 2 hours, and then you can prepare it as tagliatelle.
Poi prepariamo il ragù alla bolognese, che è un sugo molto importante. Si prendono con fondo di sedano, carote, cipolla e pancetta macinata di maiale. Con la carne di manzo si fa rosolare tutto insieme, poi si spuma con un po' di vino e poi si allunga un po' di concentrato di pomodoro e salsa di pomodoro e si fa cucinare per circa due o tre ore.
Pasquale recommends tagliatelle with ragù sauce.
Yes.
It's funny because in all over the world, ragù is known as ragù bolognese, which is a mistake. Because if any foreigner comes to Italy and asks for tagliatelle ragù bolognese, people will laugh because we never call it bolognese. We just call it ragù, tagliatelle with ragù. We don't need to say bolognese because it's already
bolognese.
So all over the world, it's known as bolognese. But actually, when you come to Italy, you shouldn't say the word bolognese.
You just say ragù.
Because ragù is already bolognese. So just say tagliatelle bolognese, tagliatelle with
ragù.
Tagliatelle con ragù, and this is already understood. So how to make ragù? To make ragù, you need pork meat, the minced pork meat, some minced beef, and a touch of stock, or what you call demi-glace in French, and then some wine, half glass of wine, half cup of wine, white wine, tomato sauce, and you put all this mixture all together, and you, for around 5 hours... And you have to take care of the ragù. Never answer a mobile phone. Just be there and take care of the sauce. It should cook for 5 hours. So it's a delicious sauce, and you can serve it with any kind of pasta, but especially fresh pasta is more recommended.
Poi possiamo preparare delle rosette di vitello a vecchio aceto balsamico, ma è semplice, un piatto semplice, ma richiama la tradizione emiliana con un aceto balsamico così bello, tradizionale. Prendiamo delle filettine di vitello, lo prepariamo, lo tagliamo con due rosette, lo rosoliamo in padella con filo d'olio, poi lo sfumiamo con un po' di aceto balsamico e lo serviamo leggermente su un piatto con un contorno di stagione.
Pasquale recommends as another nice dish, bolognese dish, veal, plain veal cooked together with vinegar, balsamic vinegar. So a touch of
and
oil.
This is the place to get the balsamic.
Yes, of course you need to choose a high quality, and he can, of course, he can mention good high quality vinegar, balsamic vinegar. So the veal should cook in the vinegar, and once it's cooked, you just serve it with some nice vegetables like potatoes or spinaches or any kind of seasonal vegetable. Would you like to have another?
No, I think what
suggestion?
We'd like to do now at this point is, I mean, there's so many things on the table. I would like to make sure that our listeners understand where the restaurant is. Can you read the website for the restaurant?
So our restaurant is called Carracci Ristorante, which is in Hotel Baglioni, Bologna. And our website is www.baglionihotels.com. So again, www.baglionihotels.com.
And I want to recommend Yolanda, who smooths over everything and makes everything clear. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, would you repeat your email address?
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much. So if anybody would like to contact me, just write Yolanda with Y, not with I or with J, otherwise the maid won't reach me. So it's Yolanda with Y, yolandarocco.yahoo.it.
Well, I'm looking so forward to this meal. We've already been nibbling. I was very fortunate that the microphone didn't switch to me when I was chomping down on the little hors d'oeuvres we had. Pasquale, it's been a real pleasure. Oh, and listeners, he's also gorgeous.
Un piacere parlare con te, averti qui, è veramente stato delizioso.
Il piacere è tutto mio, è un onore, stasera vi propongo dei bei piatti.
So it has been my pleasure and my honor to be together, and tonight you'll have a wonderful meal.
Oh, I no doubt.
Okay. Non avrò dubbi.
Grazie.
Dica ciao.
Ciao. Ciao a tutti. Ciao a tutti, alla prossima.
See you next time.
Anch'io. Me too. Bye bye.
Viva l'Italia. Wow.
Now it's time to take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station. www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Please make a note of our email address, onthemenu@onthemenuradio.com. And I guess since we're talking about Italy, it should be prefaced by a voo, 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 which I love. Anyhow, we're going to take a little excursion out of Bologna, although we have more on Bologna after we talked to Danilo. Where are we going next, Rabbit, before we get back to Bologna?
Well, we're going to a tiny little village in a walled town called Monte Gridolfo, and the palazzo within the Castello di Monte Gridolfo. And our next guest, really, the whole story explains itself, so let's just roll the interviews. Funny things happen to On the Menu Radio sometimes, and a funny thing happened about 4 months ago. I got an email from somebody called Danilo Di Pasquale, and I said to myself, who's that? I know the name, but I don't know why. And the email said, I am general manager of a hotel that I've just taken over. Please won't you come and see us? And we had so much faith when we found out that Danilo Di Pasquale was the director of sales of the Palazzo Guidarocchi in Ascoli Piceno when we visited there, and I found out who it was. I sent him an email back. I said, please tell me who you are. So Danilo not only sent me an email, he also called me on my cell phone and said, I am Danilo Di Pasquale, and now I am the general manager of the Palazzo Viviani. You must come. So around that, it turns out, On the Menu decided to build a short holiday and working trip as well, of course, in Emilia-Romagna. We are right on the edge of Emilia-Romagna. But more about that in due course. But Danilo, welcome again. Most people don't even get to be on the menu once. If you're on the menu a second time, that must mean you're doing something very important. So let me just ask you in your own words to describe the venture of which you're the general manager.
Well, first of all, I'm very proud for that, and I thank you very much. I appreciate, and you are welcome. The Castello di Monte Gridolfo, which is a medieval village, completely restored. It was built in 14th century, in 1336, and completely restored in 1980 by Alberta Ferretti, who is a fashion designer. She discovered this place that was completely destroyed and decided to renovate and regenerate this beautiful castle, which it is now at this time.
Now, what's here is really a classic Italian walled community, correct?
And now the Castello di Monte Gridolfo has an hotel with 53 rooms, but inside the walls, families are living here, are still living here, and Alberta Ferretti restored all the buildings, even if it was to the heir house. He restored the town hall as well, her money, and because she believed in her project, and she had a very long vision, and she was very proud to rebuild the castle as it was.
Now, her name may not be familiar to On the Menu listeners everywhere, so just a little bit about her background, Danilo.
Yeah, Alberta Ferretti, but she's a fashion designer. She owns his company, Philosophy Designer Fashion, and she's owner of the Moschino company as well, and she owns other fashion companies as well, and she was full of passion. She had this passion, this motivation to convert the castle in the hotel and to rebuild what the Malatesta and Malatesta destroyed during the medieval wars. Because we are at the border of the Marche and Emilia Romagna. And it was in the medieval time an area where a lot of wars place, and the castle was completely destroyed.
And of course, that's why the town was built with walls in the first place. And the Malatestas are associated with a castle we visited today called Gradara, which is even larger and grander than the Castello di Monte Gridolfo. But you've been here only a short time. I'm sure you must have come here with the reason and a plan to do something even better than was here before.
Yeah, exactly. I was lucky to manage the Castello di Monte Gridolfo 8 years ago. I was working here. I was managing the castle in 2000 for 3 years, and now I'm proud to be back for and working for this project and working for a new company. Hotel Philosophy Management, Hotel Management Company. Hotel Philosophy manages 15 hotels spread all over Italy, in Sardinia, Sicily, and Rome or Venice as well.
So you're actually working for a management company that is running the hotel on behalf of Alberta. That's correct?
Exactly, it's correct.
And what do you want the guest experience to be like? I mean, when people come here, it's hard for them not to be surprised that being in a medieval palace is just a little bit different. But you've wanted to add to that experience so that you have the wonderful traditional historic experience, but then you also have many more modern touches also.
We want our guests to be back to the past. We would like our guests to discover a new area, beautiful area. We are not so far from the Adriatic coast, and the Romagna coast is very well known for the summertime. It's a very touristic place, in particular the Romagna beach. We would like our guests to discover a new area, beautiful area, medieval area. In fact, not so far from Castello di Monte Gridolfo, we have beautiful other castles, medieval witnesses, Castello di Gradara, Castello di Montefiore in Conca, and Urbino as well. It's not so far, it's just 30 minutes by car from Monte Gridolfo. So we would like to share with our guests a medieval experience.
So staying in the palace is a little bit like being the guest of the lord who owned this building in the first place?
The main building of the Castello di Monte Gridolfo is Palazzo Viviani. Palazzo Viviani, exactly Count Filippo Viviani, he was the last owner of the castle, and he has got a room exactly in the palace, in the affreschi, the affreschi junior suite. What we call today affreschi junior suite was the bedroom of the last owner, Philippe.
Now, in addition to the 8 rooms that are in the palace itself, there is, I think, another building which has several rooms, and then rooms in other parts of the village?
Exactly, it's correct. We have 44 rooms spread all over the village. Some of them are close to the swimming pool, and others in the village, inside the walls. And above all, we have 3 restaurants, 3 different kind of restaurants. Ristoro di Palazzo Viviani is our gourmet restaurant, is in the main building, and it is an old stone walled cellar and completely restored and converted in restaurant. Grotta dei Gridolfi, it is our brasserie where you can enjoy pizza or simple dishes from people from this area. Another restaurant, the Osteria dell'Accademia, with a fantastic terrace with a dramatic view of the valley and the beach. and the sea, of course.
Now, you're doing something very interesting that we experienced last evening in the restaurant Ristoro, that we actually talked with you and the chef about, because the number of choices on the menu is quite limited, and I'm sure deliberately done that way.
It is true. Our policy is to propose good and creative cuisine. Our restaurant would like to be not the restaurant where you can eat, but where you can share an experience, a gastronomic experience. And for that we have a very short menu, but I can tell you, I can guarantee that all the dishes you can try, you can enjoy, are all very creative and very particular. So it's an experience to do.
It's really a little bit like if you were eating as guests of the owner, just as you're staying as guests of the owner, isn't it? Because a kitchen that was serving the count or whoever was the lord who owned this property would undoubtedly have served several different choices, but not a whole menu for his guests. So was that sort of something you had in mind as well?
You are right, Peter, because Palazzo Viviani was the Filippo Viviani count home. So it should be an house, and we would like to recreate the house atmosphere.
Now, you mentioned earlier on to us before we did the interview that summer was a very successful season for you and was very, very busy. And as a result, you were rather tired. But this is a year-round operation. What's it like at other times of the year?
In wintertime, especially, the castle is so romantic. And because, for example, we have a lot of snow, and I swear you that it is beautiful. It is very beautiful area in wintertime. With the snow, you can imagine how romantic it is. And all our restaurants are open, and we are opening in wintertime all our caves where you can enjoy wine, you can enjoy special dishes that our chef prepares in wintertime. And it's a very good and particular experience in wintertime at the castle.
Now, what kind of people come here? This weekend's been a little unusual, I think, in that we've seen several couples with small children and some young people who must have been out for perhaps one of their first adventures. But you also, I'm sure, draw people from various different parts of the world as well. If you have a target audience, but who really comes?
Italians discovered this place, but our guests are coming from all the world, from US, from UK, European guests as well. They come to enjoy the castle and the area as well, from Australia as well, and this year from Russian, for example. A lot of Russian guests we had, but above all, Americans and English people enjoy the castle.
Now, we were able to bring with us for Danilo a recently published article with some beautiful pictures of the hotel from Budget Travel magazine, and he hadn't even seen a copy yet, so that was really, he was very pleased about that. But this is a property that's going to become very popular, and the supply of rooms is limited, so the website that people can use to find out about availability and make a reservation is something that we ought to know.
I thank you very much for the article, and we hope Castello could be very popular. Our website, however, is www.montegridolfo.com. I'm spelling it MONTEGRIDOLFO.com. And you can find all the images, informations, and driving directions.
And use the driving directions from the website. Don't use the driving directions from Via Michelin, which is what we did. I think we would still be circling Emilia Romagna if we had tried to follow them. So please do as Danilo suggests, and don't be surprised if you make a wrong turning, and then just get back on track. Monte Gridolfo is a dot on the map, but it's beautifully situated with access to Urbino, with access to Pesaro and Fano and Gabice Mare and Gabice Monte and all kinds of other wonderful places that you can get to in literally only 20 or 25 minutes from here. The property is part of a group of hotels, 15 in all, in different places, and there's a website for those too.
Websites, one is mobyguest.com, mobyguest.com, or hotelphilosophy.net, our two websites where you can join our 15 hotels in different parts of Italy, especially in Sardinia, Sicily, Rome, Venice, and from next year, Milan as well. The first Moschino Hotel in Milan.
Danilo, it's always fun to talk to you because you have so many ideas about the hospitality business, and they're all, listeners, they're all reflected here. I don't know, Danilo is a very young man, but he's learned an awful lot about the business in that period of time. We enjoyed the last place we stayed with him, which is one of the reasons that we agreed to follow him here, and we certainly haven't been disappointed, and you won't be as well. Miss Anna, last thought for everybody?
Watch the steps.
But that's a story for another day. Danilo, a last thought from you?
Thank you very much. I appreciate your words. I am happy that you are here and you can touch what it means, the castle, the history, and what we are trying to do. We would like our guests to live a medieval experience and joining the castle and above all a beautiful medieval area. Thank you very much again.
Well, I guess we ought to explain about the steps. I discovered a new word in Italian, and it's called storta, and it means sprained, which is exactly what I did with my foot.
Yeah, and the sad part about it was on the last two steps of a flight, not the first two. But Miss Anne's just a little bit fat in the left foot still, and he's going to check and find out if it's broken tomorrow, everyone was most helpful for us. We got some wonderful spray material that seemed to work a little bit.
It's never been heard of by our pharmacists in the United States, but we'll see.
And Anne, of course, was just as brave as she always is and soldiered on through the trip. And we still managed to have a wonderful time. And the most remarkable thing is that on the last day of our trip, impelled by artistic curiosity, I guess.
No, I love those mosaics.
And got to see all the important mosaics in Ravenna while we're on our way.
Limping, I might add.
Limping, but with a smile on her face because she was seeing what she wanted to see. And so if you're en route from wherever you are to Venice, be sure to stop in Ravenna along the way. It's an unpleasant 2.5-hour drive on a road filled with trucks after that to get to... to get to that wonderful city, but that was where we were coming home from on the airplane, so that's where we had to get to, and we managed just fine. Now,
we're going to take a break.
Okay, well, yeah. How about that? We'll take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, we're back. Here we are. And we're going to steer you a little bit further around Bologna. I had a couple of remarks that I didn't want to lose about Bologna. The first being that there are an awful lot of mosquitoes in Bologna, and I'm not sure why, but I can attest to that fact. The second is that there is a huge population, second only to Rome, as I understand it, of Romani who are very aggressive. So you'd be very careful about your wallets and your purses and so forth, because they'll be carrying babies and saying that they're starving, but what they'll be doing is grabbing your sleeve and trying to reach into your pocket. So be careful. The population has apparently risen from 300 to, 3,000, wasn't it?
I think so.
It's a remarkable thing.
It's a disturbing phenomenon that we've seen in other cities in Italy as well, but it's the first time that we've seen it in Bologna, and we have been there before, and apparently it's relatively new. It must have something to do with the prosperity of the city or something like that, I suppose. I really don't know that I know the answer. Anyway.
And on the good side, though, we haven't mentioned that they should check out the the market.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's curious. The marker, our friend, the concierge, told us that the fin herb market, the vegetable market, has been substantially taken over by non-Italians, and is not nearly as interesting as it used to be. But the area around the Tamburini store is not a market exactly, but it is an area of small shops which actually open themselves out onto the street during the morning, from the early morning on, selling meat and fish and seafood of all kinds, and wonderful displays of fruit and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. So it's a fascinating area to walk around, and one that you absolutely certainly
should. And there is actually a good shopping area, too, for all the designer names. But go at sale time, and even so, I mean, the exchange rate, I didn't buy a thing. But if you were a purse nut or a shoe nut, you'd be in Seventh Avenue.
But everything was Salde, S-A-L-D-E. make us an offer. Today's the last day, but I'm sure tomorrow is the last day as well, and the day after that.
Yeah.
So I didn't
buy anything.
So if you're into buying Italian bargains, mark the beginning of September is the time that you go do that. Now, we sort of got off track a little bit here.
Okay, we're moving on to two more establishments.
Yeah, we have two drinking and dining establishments, between which, curious enough, there is a link. We're going to save our old friend Franco Rossi until the end. So he'll be the second interview in this particular section of the program, but it turns out that we were talking to the proprietor of an excellent and relatively ancient wine bar with some excellent traditional Bolognese food the evening before, and the owner's husband, who I guess helped his wife to buy this restaurant as a divertissement. it turns out Franco Rossi is one of his best buddies.
Divertimento.
So there's a link between the two, but down the stairs, below street level, De Poeti was our first port of call.
We are in probably one of the most charming restaurants we've ever been in our tours of Italy. And it's called Osteria De Poeti, which is because on the street is called that, and it's because so many poets and artists have lived there, here, and flocked to a particular osteria. It is so charming, I can't even tell you about it. But we're going to be talking to the owner of the osteria, who is Signora Brunelli, and she's going to talk to us in Inglese, although she may talk in Italian at some point, but she has a great story to tell. Cominciare, signora. How old is this restaurant?
Good evening, and sorry for my bad English. The restaurant is very, very old. Is the 400 years old, and it is strictly conserved in original forms. Is one of historic local of the Italy.
And it has been restored to its original form. And if you sit here, listeners, you look around and I see ancient cooking utensils, the original fireplace. I see a, what is this? Come si chiama questo?
Door.
Gramophone. Yeah. And, signora, who comes here?
When I became the owner of the restaurant, yes, perhaps 14 years ago.
I asked you before, but we do not have a good answer. Why, after all these years in finance, did you want to own a restaurant?
Initially, it was a game. But after become a job very, very hard, a very hard job. From game to hard job.
No, I mean, your husband is sitting here nodding. Would you like to say anything? Would you like to talk? Vuole parlare? No, he said no. But I think he's been in this enough. Okay, today he said it is his wife. Signora, what food do you serve here?
We, a good food at first. and after, traditional food, or traditional Emilian food, but but not only traditional, because various food, traditional and revisited food, but in traditional line, but not strictly traditional. Four dishes, traditional tagliatelle, tortellini of Bologna, lasagna, forever. But not only, many dishes we changed in various season, in autumn, in winter, in spring, and in summer.
And I might say that the very reason that this place started was because it was an enoteca, and yes, and you have a wonderful wine program, and you have the original cave, the wine. Tell us about that. What do you think about the wine program?
Quanti vini ci sono all'incirca? We have a choice at first of Italian wine. Many kind of prices. All the wine are very good from houses selected. Houses very famous. And little houses, but very good and very expensive. We have wine from 11 euro, from 600 euro, a particular wine.
Well. And I noticed of course.
we have a tall, 400 kind of wine.
Now, I must note that when we came into the restaurant, the wine service was so perfect that we knew that wine was a very special element of this restaurant. Also, I want to say that the hospitality in this restaurant is so spectacular. If you come here, you feel as though you're family, but it's a very upscale family, even though it's an osteria. It's wonderful, the atmosphere here. And Signora, do you have another word to say about the restaurant?
I am very, very honored to have as guest Mrs. and Mr. Higgs, very, very kind people, and I hope that our knowledge must prosecute, come in the future.
Sono molto gentile. Laura, listeners, I want to give you the website, so you can see it, is www.osteriadepoeti, which is osteriadepoeti.com, and it's probably one of the oldest and most fabuloso restaurants in Bologna. And thank you both.
Grazie. Thank you, and have a nice day.
On the Menu has a sort of an informal rule, and that is when we find a place that we really love, we're sure, even if it takes 8 years to go back, such is the case with a wonderful Bolognese restaurant called Franco Rossi. And we have here Franco himself to say hello, and also we have Giuseppe Pirpianani to help with the English. First of all, let's say Buongiorno, Franco.
Buongiorno amici miei, sono Franco Rossi ho molto piacere di questa intervista e spero di salutare anche gli amici del mondo dove io appartengo da tanti anni, e perché Franco Rossi è aperto da 33 anni, sorry. Bologna è sempre una città magica, una città del buon cibo, del buon gusto, del buon vivere. Speriamo di continuare su questo percorso. E la storia di Bologna è sempre una storia che il cibo è abbinato alla storia, perché senza il buon cibo insegna a vivere, insegna la cultura e insegna il comportamento. Grazie.
Va bene, Franco. And Giuseppe.
Hello, morning or good night to everybody. This is a Franco Rossi restaurant in Bologna, in the heart of Bologna. As Mr. Franco and his brother Lino, they opened this restaurant in 1975, 33 years ago. And every day they do the same kitchen and the same food, the typical and traditional Bolognese food in Bologna.
Now, what are some of the things that our listeners will understand of Bolognese? Perhaps they have not been here. So tell us a little bit about what some of the specialty items are.
Okay. When we are thinking about Bolognese food, the most important thing is fresh egg pasta. We are our specialty is a lot of pasta, eggs pasta. The best one is the noodles, tagliatelle. Then we can serve with Bolognese sauce. It's a meat and vegetable sauce. Or the other thing is the tortellini. Then we serve it only in chicken broth. In other place you can find tortellini bolognese in tomato sauce, but you never had the tortellini bolognese. You just have it in soup, in the chicken broth. Then we have a tortelloni, but the best dish in Bologna you must try if you come in Bologna is a pasta.
Here is unusual in that Franco just asked us, for lunch would we like to have carne or pesce? Because here you do both.
Yeah, sure, we do both. The world is changing now. Also, in Bologna, it's possible to find fresh fish 3 days a week, because 3 days a week we have fresh fish. Not many choices, but some fish, but every day fresh. Then in this restaurant, we like to do both, and we like to in this season, we have fresh porcini mushroom or truffles. We are starting with the truffle season. Yeah, we like to do seasonal vegetables. Every season, the food and the vegetables.
Now, part of the charm of this restaurant is that Franco is so full of life, vivace, see? And Peter reminded me that the last time we were here, not only did we close the restaurant, but Franco, you and I were dancing, davvero.
No, e nasce questo tema che io sono un appassionato di musica classica e lirica, e allora è sempre, mi diventa sempre un gioco nel ristorante e mi diverto tantissimo ad avere parecchie sere della settimana un cantante, un tenore, un soprano, una soprano, è una cosa molto affabile. È una cosa simpatica. Cosa vi posso dire ancora? C'è l'entusiasmo, e anche che vi voglio dire anche questo, che in questo territorio di Bologna, dell'Emilia Romagna, che prima non ho spiegato nella mia prima intervento, che abbiamo anche degli ottimi vini in questo territorio. Abbiamo dei vini splendidi, dove è giusto ad avere una realtà e conoscere anche i nostri vini dell'Emilia Romagna. Grazie.
Yeah, no, Franco mentioned something important that we need to discuss, is the wine program is really exceptional at Franco Rossi, and Franco himself is he keeps a fine library of wines. He knows his wines very well. Giuseppe, tell us some more about the wine program.
Yes, in this restaurant we have, I think, a very interesting wine cellar. We have about 350 different labels of wine from all the region of Italy. But we are in Emilia-Romagna. We love to serve local wine. We have a lot of interesting wine in this area, Emilia-Romagna. This is the area of Sangiovese di Romagna. They start from Imola, Rimini, Colli di Rimini, or Imola or Faenza. We have a lot of good Sangiovese. And this is a red wine. About white wine, we have a typical grapes. It's called Pignoletto. It's just grapes just from Emilia-Romagna. It's a dry white wine.
Now, there's also another white wine grape called Trebbiano, which finds its way into wine, but also is the basis for balsamico. And in the 2 days we have been here, we've also been introduced to Colli Bolognesi, which is really close to the city, where they are growing Sangiovese, but also Merlot, which we had last evening. So there's a lot of new activity going on, right?
Yeah, yeah. Except Sangiovese, we have many different different grapes, Merlot or Cabernet Sauvignon as well. Just around Bologna, not too far from the center of Bologna, Colli Bolognesi, and the white wine, Pignoletto. And in this restaurant, we love to serve for our customers our wine from this region. Because every region have a good wine, but Emilia Romagna as well. They start now to make a good wine. Many different factory.
It was good friends of ours at a winery called Tremonte, a cantina called Tremonte near Imola, which is why we came to Franco Rossi in the first place. And I see wines from Tremonte behind me on the counter. So they must still be supplying you.
Yeah, we used to serve a lot of Tremonti wine. This is just a winery just about 20 kilometers from Bologna. It's in Imola. And the owner is Dottor Navacchia. And they do a lot of good wine. They make Sangiovese Riserva. We are thinking that the best one is called Thea. It's 100% Sangiovese. And they do as well Thea red or white. And a very good wine, white, is Albana. It's another typical Albana di Romagna.
Now, you haven't mentioned the wine for which Bologna is probably infamous, what letters is that with? I've forgotten. I lost it. Lambrusco. So is there still room for Lambrusco?
Yeah, depends of the food. We are thinking some food Lambrusco is fantastic, but you need just maybe bolito or some ham, salami, and the good Lambrusco is a good way for that food. But we don't use a lot of Lambrusco.
Now, you mentioned the word there, bolito, and we know bolito from Trieste, but bolito in Bologna means what?
Bolito is one of the main dish of Bologna for second course. It's the mixed boiled meats. We can use veal, pork, beef, chicken, pork, yeah. And then we serve with potatoes puree and mustard, a lot of mustard. It's a winter dish.
So, listeners, it's very similar to bolito misto, which you've heard us talk about in Trieste. Anyway, before we close, we need to make sure that our listeners know now how to find Franco Rossi so that they can enjoy what we have always enjoyed. I think you have a website, and perhaps you can include directions as to how to find this. Is very easy from the Via Independencia, but let's just have you say that.
Yes, we are a Franco Rossi restaurant, and we are in the heart of Bologna, in the center of Bologna, in Via Goito, number 3, just close to Via Independenza. It's the main street in Bologna, close to Piazza Maggiore and the two towers. Yes.
And the website is?
Website is www.francorossi.it.
Perfecto. E grazie.
And I want to say thank you to Franco, because he lights up my life. Franco, and un'ultima.
La mia parola magica è questa, che vi auguro sempre una grande felicità. Ricordatevi che Bologna è un paese, è una città dove esiste tanta umanità, un abbraccio al mondo.
Just in case you missed it, listeners, he said Bologna is a wonderful city, it's a wonderful country, it's a great place, and you should definitely go there, and we absolutely agree, and when you're ready for some real hospitality, go by Ristorante Franco Rossi, and you sure will have a wonderful time.
And he gave me a rose just as he did 8 years ago.
Well, the funny part about it is, and there's a memory in my mind that before the evening we spent.
No, don't go there.
At the end of the evening, Signora Anne was dancing to the music of that famous Italian singer Franco Sinatra with Franco Rossi.
That was 8 years ago.
Holding a red rose in her mouth.
That's not true.
And I used to have the picture to prove it, and unfortunately a computer crash has removed it from me, but I still remember it. And it was just another of the wonderful memories.
And Franco did too. He recognized us looking out the door. And
just one of these wonderful memories that you have of a trip anywhere in Italy, and no place more than the capital of Emilia-Romagna, the wonderful city of Bologna. So take our word for it and take yourself there. Listen to the interviews before you go, and you'll know exactly what to expect and where to go and how to have a good time.
Ms. We Anne, always have a good time.
Yeah, you have a last thought for listeners this week?
No, I'd like to go back to Italy, but there's so many places to go again when we return. I mean, where do we go next? We'll have to think about that.
Well,
I love it.
We're going to be here at least 2 or 3 weeks before we go back.
Oh, okay.
And in the meantime, listeners, we hope you'll join us again. Same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.